We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That thing was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler, butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I am your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us once again. I don't have the date in front of me. Numbers in front of my face that never really works out for me.
April 26th.
Thanks. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Max Binstock, right off the top of the pod.
Thanks.
It's been a good birthday for you. You got the Wiz sweep, 125-94. They pummel the Raptors. Move on to the Eastern Conference semifinals. And had most of us prompting the question before hopping on here, is this real life? We will discuss. But first, follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. Zardcast.com is where you can find all of our prior episodes. Subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, Podbay, whatever podcasting application you prefer. That's the best way to get in touch with the pod or to get our work to you. It appears in your pocket right after we post it through those handy dandy RSS feeds. So that's neat. Leave us a review also if you like what you do and like what we do. And also, you know, the Wizards here, they're making their third Eastern Conference semifinal since 1979. You know, and we really appreciate everyone who's been listening. This has been a fun ride.
Since 1979.
Since 1979, right.
All the people who've been listening since 1979.
So if you enjoy our work, if you enjoy the Washington Wizards, if you're going to the office every day and you're, you know, waxing poetic about the majesty of John Wall and Bradley Beal and Martian Gortat, maybe be like, you know what? I've been keeping up with the Wizards through that Zardcast podcast. Work that into your lingo. We're great for commutes, workouts, doing a little bit of spring cleaning around the house. Yeah, spring cleaning. I can't speak correctly. So that's what we're here for. We're going to talk about this series sweep, some possibilities for the next round. It's good stuff. Dave, before we got on here, Dave Keffer, my fine friend, co-host, roommate, you came in the door. You said, "We did it!" We really did. How are you?
I was doing great until right before we started. I burped into this microphone as a goof. But now the joke's on me because this thing smells terrible. I'm going to have to be right up against this thing for the whole podcast.
Mmm, tasty.
Which is definitely bringing my mood down a little bit.
Max Binstock, birthday boy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Only marginally less, more sober than you were on Friday.
I'm feeling pretty good, man. I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay.
Looking forward to next week. Maybe next weekend, just whatever comes our way.
Then we've got down the line here, Duncan Perfect Roth. It's been a while. We're happy to have you. We eventually alleviated the fines against you for skipping out on the podcast, but no big deal there. All water under the bridge. That's the business side of things. This is the fun stuff. How are you?
I'm doing great. As far as the fines go, I'd just like to point out how much easier it is to record these podcasts when it is taking place in your living room as opposed to, you know, having to commute here to do them. You know.
Fair enough.
A little bit.
And you know what, Duncan? Whenever you miss a podcast, it really just demonstrates, certainly to us and I'm sure to all of our listeners, how much we value your contributions here. And it makes it that much better when you finally come back.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Just one final note before we start getting into it. If you haven't listened to our previous show, I would recommend going back and doing that. We recorded that on Friday night after the Wizards beat the Raptors in Game 3, and things were a little bit saucy, if you will. And we're in kind of the unique position where we don't have any games for the next week. The Wizards might play next weekend, if not next Monday or Tuesday. We're really not sure right now as we record this. So plenty of time to scroll back through the last couple episodes. While the Wizards were beating down the Raptors, it was all good time. So check those out
if you've already listened to them. Maybe give them one or two more goes. You're gonna have a week, might as well.
And listen to how foolish our cynicism sounded about a month ago, where we were at
when we were in DEFCON 5,
right? Our perspective of this team.
Yeah, I think roundly so. I mean, across all people who talk and write and scribe wizards, you know, that was the mindset, but we're in a different place these days. So check those out. We're going to probably come back to you with the show sometime this week. I'm going to try and get a guest. I've got one in mind. We'll see if we can finagle him on. I'll tell you guys off mic. But, yeah, so we'll try and come back midweek. And then once the series revs up again, the second round, we're going to come at you after all the games, as we did for the first round. So a lot of good stuff planned over here in the Zardcast lair. But let's get into it, because we have far more important things to discuss than the podcasting business. The Wizards get their first sweep in franchise history, their third trip to the Eastern Conference semifinals since 1979. It's good times to be a Wizards fan. I think Duncan, Max, and I, we grouped up today before the game. We were having some beers for Max's birthday. We were hanging out, and we were kind of spitballing ideas on how this game might go. And I think one of the thoughts that was discussed was, would the Raptors roll over? Was that a possibility? And through the first two quarters, we were kind of like, is this them rolling over? Are the Wizards that good? I think we could probably open up a couple different doors on that one, but I'm going to go with the Raptors ultimately rolled over today. They were just done. They knew it was over. They knew they were dead, and they wanted to, or at least they wanted to go back to Canada, clean their lockers out, and then come back to America to their actual homes.
Well, Chuck actually on the TNT broadcast actually made the joke that the red eye from Toronto to Cancun is incredibly cheap. So maybe they are taking his advice and heading off to Mexico.
That's quite possible. Dave, you didn't watch the first half. You galloped on in here for the fourth quarter. You didn't really miss a whole lot, but
I was celebrating my mother's birthday. Happy birthday to her.
Shout out to Pat.
You the real MVP.
But back to your, did the Raptors roll over? Absolutely. They look dead in the water to me after the Wizards gave them the D in game two. I read a stat on Twitter tonight that the Wizards were plus 56 in this series, which is the largest margin in a seven-game playoff series by a lower seed in NBA history. So no lower seed has ever dismantled a team like the Wizards did in this series.
I would say my personal viewing, can't remember a series eliminating game where it just looked so completely over so early. Like halfway through the second quarter of that game, barring and a crazy comeback, looked like it was done. And I think a big part of it is Lowry's foul trouble, which is a big credit to Wall, because Lowry to me seems like a guy who could potentially stay animated and keep plugging away and try to get him back into it. If
he's a loser,
if he was playing, he could still be trying to, you know, play and drive him a little. But Wall just eliminated that chance by taking him out of the game every game.
And on the TNT halftime show, Charles Barkley was like, Kyle Lowry argued with the referee for four straight possessions. Like, that is not someone who's focused. That's not someone who's concentrated on any game, let alone a
leading
elimination game.
Supposed to be the leader of the team.
Right.
He's just a big loser. Him and, we were saying before, him and Damian Lillard, no two guards, no two players, have probably had their reputations, or pretty good reputations, hurt by the playoffs so far.
And can I jump in and hurt Lowry's reputation a little more?
Please.
Yeah, just kill him. I'm so tired of him.
You have a grudge, don't you?
I have a little bit of a grudge, as many people may know. Lowry from Philadelphia, myself from Philadelphia. Lowry was playing for Nova. He was a freshman on a really good Villanova team when I was about 13, I think in 2004 or so. And I had a really nice poster with Alan Ray, Randy Foy, Curtis Sumpter, Will Sheridan, Kyle Lowry, various others. And I went and I got every single player to sign it, and Lowry was the last one to come out to the court, and it had, you know, like eight or nine other signatures. This was a beautiful poster, and he wouldn't sign it. And
ouch.
I'm like a 13-year-old kid who had just collected all these other people. Everyone else on his team had signed, and he's an 18-year-old kid from the same city as me and wouldn't do it. And so I'm 10 years deep into disliking Lowry, so that just made that win a little bit sweeter for me.
You know what I think might have contributed to how just demoralized he looked is that for all of last year and the beginning of this year, there were a lot of people who thought that Lowry was the best point guard in the East. They thought he was, you know, just as good as John Wall. He started in the All-Star game, and he just came out and got wrecked by Wall from the opening possession of the series.
Yeah, when we were kind of talking about a couple of weeks ago, we were like, who would you rather have, the Bulls or the Raptors? And I said it would be more satisfying to beat the Raptors, and it right now it is. It feels good. It feels really nice. But because of that exact thing, you know, Kyle Lowry got so much hype throughout the entire season when John Wall was playing just as well, if not better. And that's really all we heard about all season. It's what we heard about going to the All-Star game. I mean, when they both made the team, you know, Kyle Lowry was getting more shine everywhere. And that's just kind of, you know, a media inferiority complex on my part. But it's nice to see John go out there and dominate on the court and the Wizards able to back him up for it.
Right. And the few people that are defending Lowry are saying, you know, he's banged up. He's had to play a ton of minutes and essentially carry this team when DeRozan was out. John Wall is banged up and has carried his
team.
Right,
he did the exact same thing.
More than anyone in the NBA, probably other than James Harden. Like, he straight dragged this team all year, put him on his back. So there's no excuse.
Kyle Lowry's, just for the record, he shot 18 for 57. That's good for a cool 31%.
That's not ideal. You want to shoot better than that.
Yes.
You're looking to get up over 40.
Right.
Approaching 50. You know, these are just basketball.
We don't like to get too into analytics on this podcast, but you want to make more than 32% is what all the numbers I've seen indicate.
We'll get Zach Lowe on a future podcast to help us.
For sure. I hear he listens. That.
You guys might have to fact check us on this. I'm not sure.
Guys, I can't believe I slept on this at the very beginning of the show. I don't want to go any further than this. Where do we all stand as far as Chris Humphries and the Bruce Jenner controversy goes?
What does Chris Humphries have to do with Bruce Jenner?
Well, Bruce Jenner, he came out as a transsexual on Friday night.
Transgender, I think.
I'm sorry.
Is the
preferred
nomenclature.
Pardon me.
We probably shouldn't even talk about this.
It's relevant. Chris Humphries sends out what he termed a vague tweet. He said, "Glad I got out when I did. # gotta do you," or something to that effect.
Oh, good for Chris. I thought for a second you were going to say, like, I didn't know about that tweet. That when he
said something before that where he said, "Thank God I got out when I did."
That's what I just said. Oh. Yeah.
But yeah, gotta do you. That seems like a supportive
thing.
Well,
and that's what he said. He was like, everyone piled on him, and he was like, wait a second. Sorry, that was vague, guys. # fully support Bruce.
Yeah.
And I think as a pod, we fully support Bruce.
Yeah.
That's where we should come down on this.
No room for intolerance on this podcast.
Agreed.
I mean, maybe Kyle Lowry.
Yeah. We won't tolerate any Kyle Lowry's.
That guy.
That's good. That's nice to hear. I wouldn't have liked it.
But if Kyle Lowry decided, you know, he felt more comfortable as a woman, I'd support that.
More power to you, but you're still a prick for not signing that poster.
Exactly.
All right, well, so the last couple of games we've been kind of running through it quarter by quarter. I sent you guys the notes. I've got notes on 1, 2, and 3, and at that point it was pretty much over, and we're just kind of kicking it over here. So we can go back in time here. I'll set us up with a little bit of music first, just to set the mood right, you know.
Bullet fever happens to me every year.
Happens to us every year, boys. And when I say every year, I mean 2 years in a row. Let's turn that down a little bit.
Doctor and the Iceman, neither of them played for the Bullets.
They must have. I don't know.
The Doctor and the Iceman?
I don't know who they're referencing.
Why? What was the lyric though? Maybe they were like playing against the bull or the Doctor and Iceman.
Maybe. I think this song predates me.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
I mean, there's no way to go back on that song, so
It's from 1970. It definitely predates all of us.
There you go. Said it again. Seattle was stunned. Maybe they beat the Doctor, the Iceman, in Seattle or something on the way to the finals. I don't know.
Beat Seattle in the finals.
Clearly a bunch
of... That's probably the three teams they beat then.
Bunch of historians over here. From the start of this game, it was evident Kyle Lowry was out of it.
He barely played. What was his minutes?
Let's pull it up. He had two fouls in the first 6 minutes or so. He ends up playing 33 minutes. Actually, I checked his minutes out for the series. Duncan, you were like, oh, I'd be interested to see those, but they're pretty standard. Hmm. But you know what that says about him? You were thinking he hasn't played that much, but that means he just had zippy impact.
Yeah.
Completely. So that was...
Who was that, Bowie? Singing that?
I don't know, man. Let's see here. Things get going early. John has a nice cross-court dish to Brad for three.
That was an incredible pass. I was watching that in the restaurant that I was at. I think the one that you're talking about.
Yeah, it was early on.
First play of the game.
Oh, well, then that's not the one I was thinking of.
No, it wasn't the first play of the game. It was into it a little bit. Yeah,
no, actually, the one I was thinking
first
of was,
play was... The first play was a cross-court pass, though.
Oh, pardon
me. The one I was thinking of was actually out to Drew Gooden, maybe, in like one of those like sort of transition plays. I don't know how he does that, where he'll, like... He has, like, in the back of his head, like, he knows where everyone is before they even run there on the transition.
Yeah.
LeBron is the only other guy I've seen who can, like...
The two of them have a lot of similar passes, where it's... They're in motion, and they do this swooping one-handed pass
right.
that fires off like 100 miles an hour and
right.
catches somebody in the corner or the other wing wide open.
Because there are probably no other two players that have that combination of size, like just height to be able to see over everything, and athleticism and vision. It's impressive every time.
The Wiz were up 10 early. They're playing solid defense. Duncan, you remarked... That it kind of felt like they went from having 11 points to like 30 in a blink of an eye. I know it was a little bit longer game time wise, but they took a really solid lead. They were up 30-18 with 2:46 left. Otto is already bugging the shit out of DeMar DeRozan. Gortat's killing it. It gets up to a 12-point lead, 36-22 at the end of the quarter. The Wiz shot 10-for-14 from the field. I didn't want to call it over at that point, but it was certainly trending that direction.
Especially because in every other game in the series, the Raptors came out pretty hot,
right.
hitting all their shots in the first quarter. And if they couldn't even win the first quarter in this game, they didn't have a chance.
Midway through the first, before I said that, it was really low scoring. Like 6 minutes in, I don't know exactly what the score was, but it was probably like, 14-12 or something, 6 minutes left in the first quarter, and I thought to myself that was actually worrisome, like a slow, grinded-out pace might actually really hurt them. And then, like you said, next thing you know, they're up, they got 30 points.
Well, they hit 16 threes.
Finished with 36 in the first quarter.
Yeah, that's crazy.
16 threes. So much of that long two being a problem for the Wizards. They don't shoot enough threes and too many long twos. I'm the biggest culprit, or one of the biggest culprits, of just complaining about that. I mean,
well,
who didn't complain about that in the regular season?
Yeah.
Now,
well, I mean, it's,
there was literally not. There was none of that. How many long twos? I think I saw some tweet. I don't know about the accuracy of it, but Bradley Beal only took one long two in the entire game.
That doesn't mean they weren't doing it before, though.
No, I'm talking in the series.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that doesn't mean like they weren't. Doesn't mean the arguments before were invalid. They definitely were shooting way too many long twos before.
Right.
It's not like your gripes were wrong before, Max.
You were right to be angry. They took way more threes this series, and on a per game average, I'm sure, than they did in the regular series, and that just speaks to the overall kind of change and just like tweaks to the overall style of play that the Wizards had, at least offensively. And it worked out well for them. Yeah, they had 15 threes today. I think the third quarter is when they really were raining them. Drew Gooden, He hit a nice three in the second quarter. We were treated to the Ramon, Otto, Brad, Drew, and Nene crew to start the second quarter, and they maintained the lead nicely. The only thing that made me sweat it out, just maybe one single drop of sweat, was Lou Williams. He had a little heat to him in the second quarter. But then, really, the Raptors just rolled over, and they were extinct.
My single drop of sweat came from the disappointment. Again, if you are a frequent listener, you'll remember a couple months back, Max and I had a bet. After the Wizards kept losing to the Raptors, we made a bet after a particularly brutal loss. I said I had the Wizards in the first round versus any opponent. I don't know if it was for 50 or 100 bucks, but I had the Wizards versus anyone unless they played the Raptors or the Cavs. Mm. And here they go and just squash the Raptors. And the bet just is void because...
I don't think he would have paid you anyways.
Max is a gambling man.
I think, yeah. Seems like the guy would pay me.
A Lannister always pays his debts, Dave.
I like how nonchalantly, like, you're... Your posture, you got the microphone out of the stand.
Dude.
You look like you're ready to just, like, tell it like it is.
This podcasting situation right now is set up for people 6 feet and taller who have a nice lean and their headphones can reach their ears.
And Duncan should switch headphones.
So I'm just going to keep it 100 and just get my lean on. I'm feeling real comfy. This Texas two-step is getting a little fiery right now.
Yeah, Dwight Howard's about to kill somebody. They're like they can't stop him, so they're just
Tyson Chandler
the shit out of him.
And
watching the Rockets.
Dirk's getting bitter.
Rockets Dallas. So yeah, at that point the Raptors kind of rolling over. Taylor Hansbrough was doing his best to try and hurt someone or get someone thrown out. He was just being
he was a
nuisance.
Thug. Yeah, he was playing the hockey enforcer role.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Canadians.
The Wiz, they have a 17-point lead at the 8-minute mark. Brad's killing it at this point. He's got 14. And actually, I'm doing it again here. I wrote Hansbrough trying to injure someone, trying to knock someone out of the game. And then immediately after that, I have Hansbrough. He hacked the shit out of Ramon Sessions and gets called for a flagrant foul. And we didn't really hear too much from Tyler Hansbrough the rest of the day. But
I don't think the lead dropped below 20 after that either.
Yeah, you're probably right. They pretty much cruised from there on out.
You gotta play that Florida Georgia Line song that we had going during Nelson during never mind, fuck.
It's too late. I got a couple queued up here.
Cruz, you know that.
I know.
Every time Nelson Cruz hit a home run.
I thought you were gonna have a particular Hansbrough jingle.
No. I don't think he's. There's too many songs about.
Psycho killer.
The Raptors, they did go on a little bit of a run. They won an 11-2 run. I'm sorry, you were incorrect there, Max. They cut the Wiz lead down to 11 at that point. It probably never dropped below 10. But, you know, at the end of at halftime, it's 66-50. John spent the entire second quarter on the bench. So when that happens, when they have a 16-point lead and John Wall is on the bench the whole time, That's another thing. I mean, we're talking about all these tweaks to the offense, you know, taking more threes, playing small. John Wall sitting for an entire goddamn quarter, and they still have a cruising lead. That's pretty remarkable, I'd say. Any thoughts on that? On that first half? I'm sorry, there's not a whole. It all blends together, really.
So I was at dinner with my parents. I was celebrating my mother's birthday. I asked the lady to put on the Wizards game. They didn't do it. This is in, like, Crofton, Maryland. You would think...
C-72.
You would think C-72. Somebody is trying to watch the Wizards game there. There are a lot of people there. No one had asked them to put it on, apparently.
What could they possibly have been watching?
Well, you know what was on? It was, like, one of those Sports Nation, like... It was on ESPN. A
countdown of sorts.
And you know what the countdown was? Like,
cheers?
Yeah. Worst like NBA plays of the year, and they had
Otto was number one.
They had Otto on there twice. I'm looking over like waiting for them to turn the TV on, and then I see that play where Otto's just like looking like somebody unplugged his controller.
Along those lines, NBA has their Instagram and Twitter account, and they put up their top 10 dunks of the year, and three of them were on Wizards.
Right. It was, and by, like, it was Jeff Green, Mike Scott, and James Ennis.
Yeah, the Green one was number one, I think. I think they had that as the best dunk of the year.
That was a great dunk. But
it's true.
How are those the three guys that are dunking all over your team?
Otto could have been thrown into that Gears lineup. He had two gross jumpers in the second quarter. Only thing I had on my list on him. Still playing knockout defense, of course. But
still probably had, what, 10 rebounds?
He is a phenomenal FanDuel play right now.
Yeah.
For any of you gamblers out there.
Otto Porter, his final stat line, he had 7 points, 7 rebounds, 3 from 8 from the field, 26 minutes. I'll take it.
His box score numbers are entirely irrelevant to what he actually does out there. Howard is going to murder someone in this game.
That's probably about the only thing the Mavericks could take solace in, him getting thrown out and suspended into the next series.
They're fouling him so hard here.
Rolling into the third quarter here. He's disgusted. Pierce drops a couple threes.
Gets an exit ovation.
Yes, he does.
He took his exit cheer in the third after a couple splashy, loud threes.
I wouldn't be surprised when they brought the rest of the guys out for their ovations. I wouldn't be surprised if he had to tell Randy, like, so this is what you do when you win a playoff series. You have to, you know what I mean? He had to, like, coach Whitman on how to do that.
Zards were up 22 with 8 minutes left. I think that was the official RIP Raptors start warming up the bus moment. John, he only takes his fourth shot about halfway through the third quarter. Gortat still killing it. The truth, like you guys said, he hits his fourth three of the game, and I think that was about it for him. John drills a three. And Sessions also, he gets two of them and puts the Wizards up 30 at one point. They're up 32 points, 102-70. No, did I make that up?
They were definitely up over 30.
That's
for
the end
a
of the third
while.
Quarter score. Okay. Yeah, it was 36-20 Wizards in that third quarter. They made 7 threes, and then into the fourth quarter, the crowd bellowing na 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 na. Na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye.
Had some strong USA chants as well.
Yes,
yeah. It was an Otto Porter chant that was happening. Mm-hmm. All of those were great work by the Verizon Center crowd.
Very nicely done.
Wish I could have been there.
Got the second round coming up, Dave.
Yeah,
yeah. I had tickets to Game 6. Not happening.
How was your experience trying to buy those tickets?
The experience buying them was great. I basically, as soon as that first game went to overtime, my thought was, okay, this is definitely going 6 or 7. And I hopped right online and bought 3 tickets for myself and 2 friends I had lost a bet to. And then the Wizards proceeded to sweep, so that game's obviously not happening. The debit from my account was instant, you know, when I purchased the tickets, when I bought them 7 or 8 days ago or whatever, and then I just got the email post-game tonight telling me that my refund would come in 10 to 15 days. Doesn't seem
that is
completely
brutal.
Right to me,
right.
That my refund would be almost 2 weeks.
I could see, like, 3 days maybe, because just... you know, processing between banks and whatnot. But.
Right, because it was from another person, because it was through StubHub. So there is bank transfers involved. But 2 weeks seems...
It's a bit much.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to our friend Stuart Rosenbaum, who came on the pod and talked about how Monumental Sports, basically, they made him pay for every potential Wizards game going into the postseason. And then, you know... whatever money that is not spent on tickets You know, he's got to go and wrangle it back from them. They are not. They don't just put it back into his account. He has to go contact him and be like, "Hey, what about that $1,300 you owe me?" Yes.
So that's a potential like.
So he has. If the Wizards made it to the NBA Finals, he has tickets to it.
Right. So worst case scenario, say the Wizards had been swept, he would have like 2 games from this series, three from this.
Mm-hmm.
No, 1 from this, and then 3 from the next 3 frivolous tickets that he would have to go like get the money back. He'd have to make the effort to get it.
Yes, he has. That's what he said. He had to make the effort to get it, or would have to.
That's terrible.
That's got to be like thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Nine
playoff games.
I heard him when he found out like how they were doing it. He was literally in his office screaming at this ticket rep.
Right.
Because I mean, this is the whole reason he bought the tickets. You know, you.
Right.
Try and make a couple bucks throughout the regular season, go to a bunch of games, and then, you know, lock in for the playoffs. And I mean, I don't know how they do it. I know like for other, you know, sporting franchises, you got to put down a deposit and things like that. But like to ask for all the money up front, I don't really know how that works. And they jack the prices up on them too in the middle of it all. So very nice of them.
All this stuff is fodder for a new podcast I'm launching about socialism, where the workers seize control of the means of production. Stay tuned for that.
It's called On the Marks.
Got a lot of thoughts on capitalism, so keep your ears open.
We need to say a fond goodbye to our friends Phil and Buck. The local broadcast wraps up today. They do not do second round or thereafter.
That's sad.
It is. We didn't watch any of the national coverage today. I have watched it. It is fun, but I do, you know, when things are, well, I think we turned it in one of the games when Doris Burke was, she didn't take a line, her viewpoint did not align with ours, so we were like, you know what, we can just flip it back to Comcast. Phil and Buck are there, that's our rock. They're going to carry us through without any, you know, anti-Wizards talk, and we don't have that anymore.
But you know what? On the bright side, I like to imagine they're going to go on a nice vacation together.
He called him his best friend at the very end. It was beautiful.
That is adorable.
I don't know. I think Buck called Phil his best friend, and it was real cute.
I'd like to think maybe they'll, like, take a cruise, and they'll, like, share a room together, and they'll... I'm sure there's like a sort of an odd couple dynamic. I bet they'll have a great time.
I fucking love them.
Yeah, they're great.
We've what's the saying? Wax something?
Wax poetic.
Oh, we've totally waxed some poetics about how Phil would be the best uncle ever, and
yeah,
just how Buck is just unreliable.
It is. It's really like makes you feel good when you can tell that Phil is proud of those young guys.
They're both like unabashed homers too. There's no,
but they're also really objective. They're not homers
fair,
like in the broadcast. They're fans, but they know that their job is to call the game. I mean, you listen to a lot of other teams on League Pass, and it's just like you can't even listen to it.
For instance,
Mark Zumoff.
No, get out of here.
The
Heat broadcasters.
The Spurs.
The Heat are pretty bad.
The Spurs are really bad.
The Clippers are pretty egregious too. I've listened to them for a few years on. They're always an exciting team, so I watch them.
They are, yeah. I really like Ralph Lawler though.
It's the law.
I think I might just have a soft spot for him though because he's in Drive.
Isn't he really?
Opening scene of that movie, right. Ryan Gosling was listening.
He's
to
driving around.
And that's a great scene. But yeah, the Spurs are really bad.
I don't much care for Cleveland either.
Yeah,
but
I was just gonna say the Cavs are not great.
Buck and Phil, baby.
Love you guys. Until next year. You know it would be like the ultimate thing ever to have one of them just sit here in the living room with us and watch the games and then hop on the pod.
You don't think we can get Buck here?
Impossible.
Probably not.
Favorite all our tweets.
They do studio work too.
Now Buck was so nice that one time that we met him. He had to...
You think that was the first time that I went up to him and just hammered and tried to get him to like yell dagger or just scream obnoxiously, Buck!
No,
every time.
Yes, and it was right after the game, and he had, like, an assistant that was, like, dragging him. She was like, clearly he needed to go be at the radio, like, booth to do
post game.
The post game, and he was so nice about it. He took a picture with us. Like, couldn't have been. It was one of the best interactions I've had with, like, a famous person. He was super nice about it.
I want to add a little flavor to this, but I gotta find the nuck of you buck.
I would say we all knock, right?
I bet he plays that on his way to the stadium every single
day. It's his hype song before his way to the stadium.
And he, like, dabs his fingers on the steering wheel, like, knock if you buck, moving those shoulders around. He's probably got a little bit of rhythm. Well then, gentlemen, I mean, we're kind of at the end of the line here. I think as far as the next round goes, Hawks or Nets, 2-1 Hawks right now, although the Nets won last night. I think if we played the Nets, that would be the biggest coup ever, but I just can't see that happening.
No.
But, okay.
We're going to take Atlanta like General Sherman.
Oh!
Bang!
On that note.
Atlanta looks like the likely opponent.
Yes,
if I had told you that in December, January, or February, your thoughts would be sweep, probably.
Fuck.
Right. If I tell you, all right, Wizards got the Hawks in the playoffs, you're like, shit. Now I tell you, Wizards playing the Hawks next round with all their injuries. How Wizards just look for four games, you know?
Do we know Paul Millsap's status? I can probably pull that up right now, but.
He's been playing. Oh, okay. He's clearly
a little
limited.
Played great 2 games ago.
But the Hawks have not been the same team that the Wizards haven't played them for a while. They got like run out of the gym the last time they played. I think
they had
is that when they got beat by like 30.
Well, they also played like one of the last games of the season. The Hawks didn't start anyone.
Right. But they haven't been the same team either that they were during that stretch when they won like almost 30 straight games. So
right,
did yeah. anyone watch the last game?
I didn't last
really
night.
See, yeah, I didn't really see how
I
they
did not.
They won.
I wasn't even around.
Negative.
TV.
Also, no TV available.
Hermits,
well, shitty
Hermits,
basketball
Schwenk
fan.
And I.
My bad.
But you know what? The good news is we got like a week until the next series, so we can really buckle down and work on our film. What? Oh,
what I tell you?
Got a favorite from Steve Buckhead.
Every time, man.
Mid pod.
It's almost like he's listening.
He's with us in spirit.
Some sweet sirens. We're doing city sounds tonight. Oh yeah.
I feel like that lends this podcast a lot of legitimacy. Like
I think
these
so
guys are really out there. They're probably real tough. And cool.
If I had to come up with one word to describe each of us, tough is probably first.
Cool
second.
Second, yeah, definitely.
I think that's fair.
And anyone who knows us would agree.
Oh, those tough and cool guys? I know you're talking about.
Some big tough cool guys behind the microphones. Guys, the one thing that has me thinking positive about the Wizards playing the Hawks is against the Raptors. We all know that Paul Pierce, he spoke about the Raptors before the series, and he was like, you know what? They don't got it. They don't have it. And, you know, of course, DeMar DeRozan, he was combative about that. But they didn't. And it seems the Wizards, I don't want to say they totally have it, but they've got a bottle of it on the shelf, especially with John Wall and in the way Paul Pierce was hitting clutch shots. I mean, we can go down the roster and, you know, maybe the whole performance, I don't want to say it was, like, tainted, but maybe it was shaded because of how poorly the Raptors played throughout. But I think we've seen some it from the Wizards this series, and I think there's a whole lot of reasons to feel good about going in and playing the Hawks. And you know, you got the road maestro and Randy Whitman. You know, I'm not scared of playing down in Atlanta. You know, that's not really a hostile building. I haven't really watched any home games from them, so I don't know how it's been throughout the playoffs, but not known to be a dangerous spot to play. How do we?
And
yeah, it's not a bad place to be right now.
The Wizards, what they do have is they'll have the best player in that series. They'll have the Hall of Fame
coach Randy Whitman.
They'll have the Road Warrior Randy Whitman. They have a Hall of Fame closer in Paul Pierce, and what they have right now is a rejuvenated sense of confidence that they are a new team. You can tell that they think they've turned a corner. I've never seen them play with as much confidence as they have in this series.
Anyone else feeling that confident? You guys kind of like, meh.
No, that's what I was trying to say before. I think they stand a good chance against the Hawks.
Wait and see.
Okay.
Did anyone have any clue they were going to sweep the Raptors?
I certainly wouldn't bet on it. They're not the smart bet. If I'm objectively looking at it, I'm not going to say, okay, Wizards are going to win this. But they definitely have a chance.
I don't know what I have in my hand.
My fear would not be what it was a week ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, right now. They're looking great. And part of what makes the Hawks so good is just the team working so well as a unit.
Right.
They don't have any stars. It's a cohesive unit operating together well, which is what the Wizards are doing. And they have a star in Wall. They've got Beal, who when he's playing his best, quietly scores 25, and you don't even realize it's happening. They've got Gortat doing double doubles. I feel like they're operating at their peak right now, so they got a shot.
I think we'll find out very quickly how the series is going to go. First half of game one, either they'll come out and play with the Hawks, or they just won't be prepared for. I mean, the Hawks are just a supremely well coached team. They have a system that works way better than anything the Wizards have ever done. So I think we'll find out right away.
Yeah, I think how the Wizards play defense against the Hawks, especially in your right, you'll probably know in that first half. If they can really play sound defense like they did this past series and, hold them up to it, we've seen the Hawks thrash the Wizards. So
right.
I think obviously that's kind of a dumb, blatant, obvious key, but if they can defend against the Hawks spacing and how they run their offense, and I think that's a good start from them to build on. And then I think the offense it's weird. Now we're talking like Randy Whitman here, or at least I am. It starts on the defensive end. Commitment to fucking playing defense. And that's kind of what it is, and we shall see. Any other thoughts? I think we've round the bases here on this one today. Any parting shots? Anything else you want to expound upon?
I'm pretty pleased.
Do you think this season is a success thus far?
Nope. I'm just pretty pleased. And I don't want to think about long term. Just let me enjoy it. Hey, we'll talk about it on their pod, team.
Okay.
It's all about managing your expectations. I feel like I'm managing perfectly right now.
Okay, it's fair.
We're not going to get out of here without playing the John Wall song, are we?
Oh, pardon me. Actually, before we do that, there is one thing I want to.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, we'll play two John Wall songs.
He's told you it's his favorite part of the show, right?
He did say that. But that's classic John. Just everything's got to be about him all the time.
We've got a quick mystery to solve, and I think we need some music for it. Guys, we posted a Vine at Zardcast on Twitter. And it was after Paul Pierce, he hit one of those big threes in the third quarter. Martell Webster's on the bench with what looks like a pair of underpants and is
either
jollying them around.
Either boxer briefs or compression shorts, but definitely underwear for sure.
What was he doing?
Martelling it like it is. That's what he was doing.
He looked as though he was waving them at a bull like a matador. I don't know who he thought was going to charge, but that's what he looked like he was doing.
I have a thought. I think maybe he was like, oh, Paul with his big boy pants on. That's my thought on it. Any other theories? It's okay.
As reason for what he did?
Yeah, I mean, it was bizarre.
I don't know. Maybe it just the camera didn't catch it. Maybe Webster was doing that all game. Maybe it was like, we're taking the shorts, you know, and he was doing it all game, and then the cameras just happened to throw it up that one time.
We're beating the pants off him.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, we'll move on to our favorite player's favorite segment of his favorite podcast.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall, the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circus shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall.
John was quite incredible.
Just a boy. Oh.
You know, I'd imagine he was just a boy at one point, but, like, when was that? Because he's just been the man for this team for such a long time, and I don't think there's a more fun player to watch than John Wall.
He's pretty fantastic. He had 14 and 10 today. He had two 15-assist games. He played lockdown defense. I'm a big Sports Junkies fan, and I know they don't watch a whole lot of Wizards, but they were like, oh, man.
What the fuck?
Vin Stock is roaming around over here. We're not quite sure what he's up to. But the Sports Junkies, they were – some callers were like, hey, John's probably the best or one of the best defensive point guards in the league. They're like, no, that can't be true. He has problems with smaller point guards. And I think, if anything, this series has shown that against two excellent guards in DeRozan and Lowry, you know, they – both pretty much shut up, and maybe not due totally to him, but certainly a large slice of that you know, that pie, that defensive pie, went to him and performed admirably, as we thought he would.
And that bit about smaller point guards, little guys that can get into the lane are always going to do well against the Wizards system, because they like to switch really aggressively, and it's always going to be like that. But anyone who watches the Wizards knows that John Wall is a dominant defensive point guard.
All right, gentlemen. We played the song. We solved the mystery. Is that all we got for the listening public this evening?
Yeah, I want to go home.
Okay.
When are we going to do the next one?
We'll figure it out sometime during the week. We'll hit on it. We'll hit it this week.
Maybe a
preview pod?
That's what I was thinking, a preview pod.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do a preview pod. We'll try and have a guest on. Got an idea rolling around in my head. So we'll work on it. We'll do it a day that works for everyone, and it'll be good times. Imagine that.
And the one thing that I do want to say, rest in peace, Jerry Moosewood. There's a tragic car accident. He was on his way down here to hang out with us, and apparently he was driving on the wrong side of the road like they do in Canada.
Oh my god, I just laughed at our friend's death. I'm a bad person. Go on, Dave. I'm sorry.
His last three tweets before death, though, if I remember them correctly, one said, at Zardcast, can't wait to see you boys. Really looking forward to it.
Well, he also left us that voicemail. Do you want to just play the voicemail that he left when he was on his way down?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
Tony Romo looks pretty drunk.
Okay, I found it here. Let me play it for you. Hey, fellas. I'm on my way. I'm on 95 coming down to Vermont. And just really looking forward to watching the games with you fellas. You know, it's been a good series. You guys got us 3-0, but I think we still got a shot. My little fella Kyle, he's looking good. I don't care about the fouls. He's going to do the darn thing, and you guys are going to see what's up. So I really look forward to watching the games with you. And I just
I'm really excited to meet you. I hope nothing happens to me on this car ride. Tragically, you know, that would be really a bummer, because I really want to see you. Okay, I'm running long on this voicemail, and you might not have even listened to it, because most people text nowadays, so I'm going to hang up. But if you want to call me back, that's cool, too, because I got the hands-free device in my car. So, I want to talk to you, so I'll see you soon. Okay, goodbye.
Such a tragedy.
Shortly after that, he ran into a moose on the road going through Vermont.
A beautiful life cut short.
R.I.P. Jerry Moosewood.
Yeah, truly, truly, truly sad.
Well, let's take the show out. Let's take Jerry Moosewood out with a little shy glizzy, John Wall. So thanks to everyone who's been listening. We really appreciate it. We'll be back midweek to preview the Wizards' next series. And, we'll be back throughout the playoffs. After all the second-round games, we'll be back right afterwards to post the morning of. So, like I said, subscribe on iTunes. That's your best way to get the show. Zardcast.com. Follow us on Twitter. Leave us a review on iTunes. All of those fun things. Much appreciated. So, until next time, that was Zardcast. Baby, I'm a shot caller. All my niggas look like they just left from Boston.